This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message, titled Remembering What God Wants Us to Remember, Pastor Alex reminds us of what we should remember about the past, in the present, and for the future. This message was recorded on Sunday, June 14, 2015. Here now is Pastor Alex.
Okay, this morning I'm going to be talking about what God wants us to remember. How many of you that are getting up in age tend to forget a lot? I never say raise your hands. Everybody looking at you right now. Yeah. Me first. Like every morning I get up, and I did that this morning. I have always a piece of paper in my pocket, and it's my list of things that I gotta do today. I'm not going to read what I got to do, but I even number them. You know, this is the most important thing. Do this first, do that first. How many of you know that I'm a fisherman? You know, it's so easy to make the fishing first on Sunday. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, because Sunday is a battle day. If the enemy can get you not to go to church and learn more about God, he will get you to change priorities on your list. And we start off strong, but on the long run, we forget. And so I really know what God is saying to us this morning is that he wants us to remember certain things. So if you're following with me on your outline, we're going to talk about things to remember that are important. And God has given us some things that you and I can remember that can help us to live out the purpose that he has for our lives. I'm going to put them in three categories. What do I need to remember about the past? What do I need to remember in the present? And what do I need to remember in the future? Remembering isn't just about the past, and it's not just about the present, but it's also about the future. So what can I remember that will empower me to live a purpose-driven life? Number one, you want to fill this in on your outline. Remember when you first came to Christ, when you first came to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, this is the first part of the verse. It says, "Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when you first learned about Christ? It means when you began a relationship with him. It was something that you did through prayer. If you notice in this church, at the end of the service, if Pastor Scott is preaching, he will lead you into a prayer to receive Christ. And what that does is it starts off a relationship with him if you say yes to him. You said to Jesus, "Please forgive me for the things that I've done wrong." And I tell you, everybody has done something wrong. We all need forgiveness. And then we ask God to help us to begin to live the right way with him. And so you began to trust in him in a new way, and you started a relationship with him. So you remember when you came to Christ. Now, I know that a lot of us, including myself, we don't know it all. And if we claim that we do, you don't. We don't know it all. There are some of us that can find scriptures faster than the others in the Bible. Many of us don't know all the songs that we sing. We don't know what is happening in the church, and I'm glad that the youth is happening. Amen? Yeah? So there are things that goes on that we don't know, and we're not as good like someone else. But we always need to remember, and I'm here to tell you this morning, that you have something that you can never lose, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what the Bible is telling us is never forget the freshness of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. He's Lord. And listen to this. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. Because I'm saying this because it's so, after a while in walking with Jesus, it is so easy to forget. It's human nature. We tend to remember what is new and we forget something that has been around for a while. Let me prove this to you. When you first got your license, where's AJ? Just got his license. Hey, driving around. Look at me. You know, look at me. I get my license. I'm driving. But if AJ, if you ask everybody that's been driving for a while, no big thing anymore. Yeah? You don't want to get drive anymore. Especially when dad tells you, go throw the rubbish. Yeah. There is something about new things. But let me tell you something. If you buy a new car, that spirit comes back. Look at me. Get my new car. Until the car gets old. It's human nature when something is new and versus something that becomes old. So what happens during the years? I'll tell you what, a little of the wow goes away. And so God says, one of the things that I want to help you to remember is remember what it meant when you first came to Christ. Do not ever forget that. In fact, there's a line on your outline, and this is for something for you to write on. Write something that you remember when you first came to Christ. Write something down that you remember. It might be a date, it might be a person, it might be a feeling. It doesn't have to be something supernatural. What is something that you remember as you think about when you first came to Jesus, to Christ? You know, for me, March 15, 1987, New Hope Hilo was meeting in the Boys Club. Not Boys and Girls Club, Boys Club at that time. 1987, way back. I remember that date because that's when I gave my life to the Lord. And you know what happened that day? I was sitting in the back row of the church. There is something about the back row that God does. And then later on, you know, I find out all this, that when they set up the chairs, they pray over every chair that God's Spirit would move. Guess what we do every Sunday morning here? We wipe the chairs, we pray over the chairs. Yeah. So, that's the date for me, and I was crying all through the service. I remember that so clearly when I came to Christ. For some of you, coming to Christ is a decision that you just recently made. And so my prayer is that you would write down today's date, that you would say, this is the day the Lord has made, if you don't know what else to write. Some of you may give your life to Christ today, and you would want to put today's date down. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody. You know, when I see somebody that has really lost it, I mean, out of control, slamming things, wanting to get into a fight, you know what I say? Oh, he needs the Lord. And you know how I know? Because I was there. Same guy. I needed the Lord. Thank God somebody prayed for me. We all need Jesus. The second thing to remember is remember the miracles that God does. Remember the miracles that God does. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12, it says, remember the miracles he has done, his wonders and his decision. Now, let me give you a real simple definition of what is a miracle. Because we say, wow, miracle. Wow, miracle. But what is the real definition of a miracle? A miracle is an event for which the only explanation is God. That's a miracle. When God gets involved. So when a baby is born, that's a miracle. The only explanation for that is God. Oh, well, it takes me and my wife. Yeah, God used you and your wife. But he did the miracle. When someone finds hope, that's a miracle. When a guy turns off the television to listen to his wife, that's a miracle. Right, ladies? Yeah. But to be more serious, when a dead relationship is brought back to life, that's a miracle. And God does miracles every day. I would be the first to agree that things do not always go right. I'm going to say that again because only five hands went up. Things don't always go right. Yeah. We all have struggles. We all have trials. We all go through things that we don't like. But God says, don't just think about struggles. Don't just think about all the negatives. Remember the miracles. Hey, God did this and God did that. Because I'm a pastor, I know so many people that prayed for loved ones to get well. And guess what happened? God did the miracle. But you know what happens down the road somewhere, years later? They forget. You know, I'm going to give you a warning. We pray for healing whenever we get real sick. I mean, when we get an illness that is, you know, might end in death, we pray for a miracle. Did you know that when God answers that prayer is when you will be resurrected and you will never have an illness again? That's coming. Yeah. So in the meanwhile, what we do is we pray for what's on earth as it will be in heaven. And so, we want God to do things, but we forget. And that's what this is all about today, is remember the miracles. And you got to hang on to them to live on this earth and this life because of the struggles that we go through, because of the things that we go through. We want to remember how powerful God is. Amen? Yeah. We're not in heaven yet. And we got to remember the miracles while we're still on earth. And that will help us get through the problems. And they'll give you the strength that you need to get through those things. Now here's a good question. Why do God do miracles? And the reason that God does miracles is to show us his character. He does miracles to show us what he's like. Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, remember that the Lord is the only God. Everybody say, only God.
Only God.
Yeah. The rock is not one God. The birds is not one God. The fish in the sea is not one God. Who is the only God? Our God. He's an awesome God. Oh, I can write one song. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey. Somebody wrote it already, yeah? Yeah. Our God is an awesome God. Now, where am I? Okay, I got it. Our God is faithful. And that's one of the things that the miracles reminds us of, is that he is faithful. He's a God that we can depend on. But you know what God's greatest miracle is? Anybody know? It's a changed life. I think that, like my wife, many wives pray, Lord, change him. Change him. And then you know what they do? Well, God's not going to change him, so I'm going to try to change him. And then they make a mess of everything instead of leaving it in God's hands. And then, whoa, when they change, guess what happens? The husband takes off loving God. And then the wife is saying, I never asked for that. But God does that. He changes lives. And we got years of miracles right here in this church, New Hope East Hawaii. The lives that have changed. And every one of those miracles shows that God is faithful. Every one of those miracles. And if God has changed your life, that is his greatest miracle. Only God can do that. Only when God shows up, this kind of stuff can happen. God is changing lives one by one. And that is his greatest miracle of all. And so my question is to you, what miracle has God worked in your life? Write it on that line that you see there. It doesn't matter how small you think it is. You just know that God did it. If you can't think of anything to write, just write, he changed my life. Or he wants to change my life. Because he does. You know what for me on that line was? A long time ago, there was a guy and I got into a heavy argument. And I tell you, in those days, I just wanted to crack him. Yeah, but because I knew the Lord, there was something that came over me that I just said, I'm walking away from this one. That's what happens when God gives you strength and power. It's easy to respond. It's hard to walk away. But a changed life, that can happen in a changed life. Are you following me? Good. Then number three, in the present, remember to be gracious. Remember to be gracious because people need it. Being gracious just means being polite. In God's terms, being gracious means literally showing somebody grace. God's grace. So the question is, do you show people grace? If not, what could you remember that would help you to be a man or a woman of grace? Because that is the kind of person that changes the world. Here's what you remember. Remember God's grace for you and on you. You and I are able to enjoy God's grace, and then you and I are able to change the world by showing people God's amazing grace. Are you following me? It's like the light thing, you know, that Jesus is the light of the world, and you light one candle in the dark, and you can see that flame from far. That's Jesus. But then when you start lighting everybody's candle because they're doing what Jesus does, the whole world is lit up. I don't know about you, but this is something that is not always easy to remember. It's so easy to be selfish instead of being gracious. You see that the slow clerk in the grocery line as somebody that is frustrating. And, or instead of looking at that person who might be struggling to keep their job, or maybe just got the worst news of their life 5 minutes ago. Am I making sense of it? Yeah. You see the person who just cut you off on the road, on the highway, and you call them jerk, instead of somebody who just made an honest mistake. Listen to this. Yes, they're a jerk in need of God's love. Just like you. We're all jerks in need of God's love. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the world, to show people grace. And folks, this grace, his grace, is to remember what God has done for us. The ultimate way that God shows us grace is by forgiveness. Anybody ever heard that word, forgiveness? That's a biggie. And the ultimate way he asks us to show grace to other people is by forgiving them. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. People often ask me, Pastor, how can I forgive them? I cannot. I don't have it in me. You know what? I don't have it in me either. The only place I ever found the strength to forgive is to remember how much Jesus has forgiven me. And when I remember that, then he gives me the strength and the grace to forgive others. Let me tell you another thing. Unforgiveness will keep you stuck in the past. It always has and it always will. You need to forgive for your sake in order for you to move on. Forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did to you was right. It's not saying that they shouldn't have consequences taken on them for what they did. It's just you saying, God, I'm handing it over to you. Instead of me holding them accountable and holding on to a grudge and becoming bitter all my life after that or in my heart, I just turn it over to God. God, you have forgiven me. Help me to forgive them. Unforgiveness is one of the key things that keep us stuck in the past, stuck from enjoying God's purpose for the rest of their lives. So in this one, remember to be gracious. I wrote this in for you. Everybody say thank you, Pastor Alex. Jesus forgives me. If I'm going to be gracious, I got to remember that you might even say a prayer like something like this. Jesus forgave me. God, give me the strength to forgive others. You ain't going to do it on your own. You got it. You need God. What else do we need to remember in the present? Number four, we need to remember to be generous. Now, why is it so important to remember to be generous? It's important because it makes me more like God. Not God. You and I will never become God. But like God. Godly. It's important because it breaks materialism. It's important because it helps me remember people and not things are what's really important in life. So the next three verses, they talk about three reasons why remembering to be generous makes an impact on the way that we live in our lives. Acts chapter 20, verses 32 to 35, it says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, why should I remember to be generous? It makes me happy. I love to be happy. Most of the people seeing it this way, I'm happy if I get, not give. But Jesus said the opposite of that. It makes you more happy to give than to get. And many of us, I mean, if I ask to show your hands, you don't need to do this. But many of us, we have experienced this. And we know exactly what the Bible is saying, that it's better to give. And we know what it's talking about. God is generous with us, and he encourages us to be generous with other people. The second reason that you and I want to be generous, it just makes sense. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this. What is it saying? So what does remember mean? Oh, you smart. Remember means remember. Yeah. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There is a law of sowing and reaping, and you do reap what you sow. So it just makes sense to be generous. If we all want to enjoy the generosity of God and others in our lives, this makes so much sense. But there's also a third reason It shows the world what God is like. 2 Corinthians 9:13. You will be glorifying God through your generous gift. For your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. That word glorifying means to show the world what God is like. When it comes to generosity, what encourages me is to remember the incredible generosity of God. Do you want me to prove it? Look where you live. Hawaii. You know what everybody says when I go traveling? They say, why would you want to come here? And I tell myself, yeah, good question. I did it to get away. But really, folks, we live in Hawaii. We live in a place where God has given it to us. And look at the way he meets our needs. Everybody says it's so expensive to live in Hawaii, yet we live. And if we could even learn to live off the land, better yet. Let's all go fishing. It's always so much easier to notice the unmet needs. It's easier to notice the things that don't work instead of what do work. But look at how many things that are good. Look at the fact that you and I have been given life itself. It comes from a loving God. Pastor Scott recently asked us to give to missions. We took another offering. And you and I have had that opportunity to express our generosity as we give. It's just one way of saying that we care. We care about other people in this world. We care about building into other people's lives. You know, it's so exciting what's going on here in New Hope East Hawaii. It's an encouragement of God's faithfulness and love for us, realizing that you and I get to be partners with the Creator of the universe in His plan, and His plan is amazing. It's awesome. So I pray that you experience that joy when you choose to give. I believe that this church is a little piece of heaven. And when we give, we know that our treasure is being stored where it should be. Amen? Always remember to be generous. And we were to remember some things about the past, and we were to remember some things about the present, like being gracious, because God has been gracious, and be generous, because God has been generous with us. But God also commands us to not only remember things in the past and the present, He wants us to remember some things about the future too. Because none of us knows what the future holds, right? And it can cause worry, anxiety, and fear. But listen to what God says. God does not want you to be afraid of the future. That's why he says this 365 times in the Bible. God says, fear not. That's one for every day of the year. God wants you to face the future with faith, not fear. And so he wants us to never forget two important things. Number five, remember that God will be with you. No matter what you face in the future, and you don't know what that is, you're never going to face it alone. Never. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You know what this is saying? There is nothing to fear when you know God is near. Because on your own, you're out there threading water. How many have been out there? Yeah, we know. And that's why we have to trust in God. Now, this is the key to courage. There is nothing to fear when you know God is near. Hebrews 13:5. I will never abandon you or leave you. And some of you right now today might be feeling that you're all alone. You might feel it, but I'm going to tell you, you are not alone. God sees what you're going through, and God cares about what you're going through, and God's going through the situation with you, and He will help you all. If, you know, if is such a short word, but it's a big word. If, you know that you have a part? If you trust Him. God's promise, I will never abandon you or leave you. You see, I don't have to know what the future holds because I know who holds the future. How many of you heard that before? Yeah, have you forgotten? Every time you go through a trial? Yeah. God's near. And sometimes we try going, fix the problem, fix the problem, fix the problem, only to say, God, I need you. I remember one time I was working on an engine for a car, and I was trying to get this boat out in front. And you know, I got, because I was a mechanic all these years, I got all the tools. I mean, try this tool, oh, that won't work, try another tool, oh, that won't work. And after about maybe 3-4 hours of struggling, God, I need your help. And then the thing comes out, and oh, shoot, I asked him 3 hours ago. And we laugh, but we forget that we need God. So when, that's just a pakanini. You know what pakanini means? Small, real small illustration of what God can do in our lives. When you're going through struggles, you know, ask God to help you. Because He will never abandon you or leave you. And that brings me to another truth about the Bible that tells us to remember about the future. And our men are so, I mean, they're on the ball. I told them that this is just about when to come up. And so they're out there, they're all ready. Come up, guys, come. Yeah. Another hand for our men doing worship this morning. Yeah. I'm believing with all my heart that they're going to help lead us through a song. And this song is really going to put the highlight on this message about remembering God. And I want you to just stay seated during this last song. I'm going to read the point out to you, the last point. And then I'm going to invite the men to sing the song. And then I'm going to come up and wrap up this message. Okay, everybody? Got it? Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, he's just about to end that Portuguese. Yeah. Okay. Okay, number 6. Remember that God finishes what He starts. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Until the day of Jesus Christ. What God starts, He finishes. Where God guides, He provides. And where God leads, He meets our needs. But He's going to test you first. Because there is no testimony without a test. Get it? So you are being tested when you go through trials. God's testing you. To see if you will overcome. The Bible says, blessed are those who overcome. You want to be blessed? Overcome. Learn to put it in God's hand. 1 Corinthians 1. God who started in this spiritual adventure will never give up on you. Never forget that. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody knows this. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And so what God says is he tells us to remember. Amen? Do it the way God would do it. Amen? Yeah. I'm still learning this. But remember what he has done. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we are grateful for your love, and we just thank you so much that you take the time to remind us. And we just want to be a church that is being guided and being able to follow you in every situation, where we can not only listen through a pastor or a leader, but Lord, we could hear you ourselves in what you say to us. And then we would be obedient to you. There are some here this morning that now can relate to wanting to start a relationship with you. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you want to make that choice to say, God, forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I want to do better. Help me. Guide me. Direct me. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. If there is someone here this morning that has never done this, and you want to do this right now, it's really simple. Your heart's agreeing right now. And all you got to do is lift up a hand right now so I might see your hand and I can pray for you. If there's anybody here, I see your hand. Yes, yours too. Bless you. This is where the boldness comes in, where you're saying, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to ask God to change my life. Thank you so much. Father, you are God. You are Lord. And we pray this morning that when we leave here, it's not just another Sunday that we did church. We leave here taking you with us, that we may live every day in such a way that would be pleasing to you. Help us, Lord. We're human beings. Help us, Lord, to overcome. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. 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 God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.